Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. I put out a newsletter here for my clients on the spec side called Turner's Take Market Alert. And for hedging and farmers, Turner's Take Ag Marketing. I'm a broker here at Daniels Trading. Anyone can receive the weekly Turner's Take Newsletter and this podcast, as both the weekly newsletter and this podcast are free. I work with broker-assisted clients, self-directed. We have a great online platform. Hybrid is a very popular category here, which is a mixture of both. And if you want to know more about me, you can go to turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. And all my contact information is in there, as well as in the show notes. So, here we go. We've got a short week this week. We had Labor Day on Monday. We came back into the markets and to the office yesterday. So we were, I'm going to get into the grain markets in a little bit. Let's do real quick on the macro. What's interesting about the macro markets as of late is, we've been, the market's been reacting kind of to this, the U.S. And China trade, talks or none of it. There's been, the tariff wars have been escalating. United States putting more tariffs on, then China retaliating, and everyone's talking tough. And we've seen that, the market didn't like that. But every time it seems like either tariffs get added on, or the two nations start, talking tough again, the market sells off. It sells off, but less and less each time, it seems like. Which reminds me of, when countries needed to leave or thought they needed to leave the euro, the first time we heard about that, it was the market really came down after the fourth incident where they might happen. The market was kind of shrugging it off. Same thing when the government got shut down and the debt ceiling wasn't passed. The first time was the biggest market move, and afterwards, it eventually became old hat, and the market, sells off some. It's kind of like a token sell-off, and then it comes back, which is what it feels like now when these tariffs start getting raised. So what would be bullish is if there would be a trade deal, but as long as there's no trade deal and the tariffs are in place, it just kind of seems like we'll slug along. The other interesting story that I read this week was from Alan Greenspan, and we talked about this a week and week before, about negative interest rates. And he was saying that it's only a matter of time before there are negative interest rates in the United States. The thing is, if central banks are going to try to ease and control the economy as much as possible, what ends up happening is, the easy money that's out there brings down real interest rates. And if there's a lot of easing and a lot of stimulus, and there's not a whole lot of confidence in stocks or real estate or things like that, especially when you get late on into an economic cycle, no one really wants to invest in those things, especially if they start seeing, cracks in the economy around the world, which I think is what's happening right now. That's the that is what a lot of people think. See, what happens is you see gold run up high, and you see gold go up big. We're seeing the stock market kind of struggle. It's not going to new highs. It's kind of struggling. Commodities seem like they're in the late stage of the cycle, too. They're not really rallying either. Interest rates in the United States are getting, I think the 30-year is about 1.95%. So what's going to be interesting here is, why would anyone buy a negative, interest rate bond? And I think what happens is if, people have, let's just say, $1,000, and you're looking for a home for that $1,000 in the long term, and you don't believe in the real estate market, and you think the stock market's going to crash, and maybe you already own gold and you want more of it, you know, commodities really aren't a long-term investment. They're more of a shorter to medium-term vehicle. And someone's, you know, and the bonds are like, well, you know, it may have a negative interest rate, like negative 1% or something like that, but you know, you'll get all your money back at the end of it. And if you're just looking to park your money somewhere that's relatively riskless, maybe there is a certain part of a institution or portfolio or even a person's portfolio where that becomes attractive, just because, I mean, you can't keep it all in cash, right? I mean, you can only keep so much money in cash. Only so much money can be insured. I think it's $250,000 SBIC. I think that's, you know, it's, so what if you have $1 million or $2 million or $10 million? You're not going to put it across 40 different banks to get the insurance, most likely, right? So you got to put it somewhere you want to put it safe. And if the safest tool out there is is a bond that doesn't return anything, but at least you know you'll get your capital back, maybe that's why negative interest rates can actually exist, because there is money out there looking for a home to do that. So it was a really interesting comment. If you want to, the story is on the internet today. You can Google Greenspan negative interest rates, and he goes into it. So if we do have negative interest rates, what does that mean for the stock market? You would think for high quality stocks or indices overall that are viewed that way, it would be beneficial, because the deeper an interest rate would go negative, the more likely you'd probably want to buy gold or something of quality, right? You almost have to think that any kind of asset that's viewed as a quality performing asset in this class would become even more attractive. But it's an interesting, it's a very interesting topic, and we'll talk more about it and what kind of effect. I don't even know what it means for the housing market. I have to work through that. I haven't even thought about it yet. And mortgage rates and stuff like that. That would be an interesting one to go through. So that's where we're in the macro economy, and because of it, you know, the dollar seems to be pretty stable and high, especially compared to other currencies, and we've got a stable stock market. So the stable stock market, stable bond market should be okay for commodities, but the high dollar is not. So we kind of got a little bit borking there. If the market should come down because of growth, that'd be an issue for commodities too. So something that we need to keep in mind. All right, so let's switch on over now to the gray markets. Last week I was saying this time of year we tend to have a seasonal bottom. I don't know if we're going to get it this year. The price action yesterday is not what we wanted to see. What we wanted to see is last week the markets tend to bottom out around first notice day, which can happen because there's a lot of old crop being delivered, or we saw with wheat, well, there were a lot of deliveries and a lot of people had to get out of the month of September and really liquidate all the longs from there by the end of the month. And that's when those market mechanics is usually when you see these types of seasonal bottoms. It's really much more of a market mechanic thing than anything else. And what happened? That did not happen. We were down 8 cents on Tuesday and then another 3 cents in corn today. So what does that tell me? It tells me that, you know, we're most likely going lower. And why would that be? You know, we'll probably leak lower until one of two things happen. The USD, or three things happen. This is in the corn markets, but this also applies for soybeans too. If the USDA comes out next week or in October or November and says, hey, the crop really is smaller and there's less acres and we're bringing that down, you know, then, you know, we can rally. But right now, I think, you know, the funds are probably short about 100,000 bushels of corn. So for them to not to come out of it, they need a real reason, either a real short covering reason or just an outright bullish reason. So, you know, smaller crop would definitely, on the supply side, would be good for the supply bulls. Another reason would be when farmers get out in the field, especially for that late crop, that late planted crop, that June corn. You know, we're going to be getting in the fields in late October, probably most likely November, before we can really see what those things are yielding. And if when the farmers get in the field and if the crop's not there, that's a reason why I could rally. The third one is weather. Right now, one of the reasons why corn did go down after the long Labor Day weekend is the weather did get better. Got a little bit warmer, which is what we needed. So that will help crops a little bit. But we're, you know, days are getting shorter. It's getting cold out. We're getting overnight lows in the 40s in the Dakotas. Yeah, it's a little warm this week in the afternoons, but it's going to probably switch to a more colder front. There is no frost in the forecast right now. Now, in the 14-day forecast. So it only gets us through, like, I don't know, mid-September. But if we start getting into late September or early October and there is frost, significant frost risk in the forecast, that would be a reason for the funds to cover. So right now that's not happening. We don't have any surprises, or we don't expect any surprises in the WASI, which is on the 12th. We don't have any forecasts of real any kind of frost threat yet. And I'm just going by the 10 and 14 day because it's kind of really hard to trade anything past those forecasts. And, you know, for the moment, for right now, we're average temps to a little bit warmer, even just to slow down the crop. And it's slow development right now. Probably need average to lower than below normal temps. And that's not happening at the moment. So that's where we are. So what's going to happen with corn and, you know, probably soybeans too, is just this gradual leak lower. I mean, this is what happens when you don't get that seasonal bottom. Well, we're not sparking demand because of these prices, which we're not, because we're not the cheapest in the world right now, which is unfortunate, but South America and Ukraine have plenty of corn to sell. Also, the price of wheat globally is really down in the dumps, which brings down our wheat, and there is a, you know, a competitive, there is a substitute factor in corn versus wheat, which is going on, and you know, every way you slice it, corn just looks too high on a global stage too. So that's not great. Are we going to be going limit down anytime soon? No. But we could see this slow bleed, and we've seen it before, where every day it's down a couple of cents and just keeps on going that way. So in the short term, I'm changing my mind here. I don't want to be long. I thought it'd be interesting, kind of a minor play to take a shot being long here. You know, I almost feel like I'm just fighting for the weather now, if we were going to get long. Or what we're doing is just playing the weather game, or, you know, structuring a trade where you want to be, you know, long in December or farther, because you're waiting for this October, November yield data to come through the field. So think of the short term, the play is probably be short, lightly, and then really keeping an eye on the weather, and once the weather starts to turn, then to reverse and get long. But for now, it just feels like these corn could test 350, and if it breaks 350, then I think 343.5 is a big support level on the chart. Could we see that? We could. The other problem we have with the WASDE coming out next week is, you know, carryout could expand just because exports have been so bad. Exports have been so, I mean, I hate to sound like a real bear here, but the exports are so low. I can see, you know, the USDA relatively keeping the crop size the same, but, you know, decreasing exports, which would increase the carryout. And another thing the grain markets have working against it is when you start to look at what could acres be next year with still low demand, because we still have African swine flu to deal with, and this U.S.-Chinese trade war, plus some pretty big crops around the world, and all of a sudden I'm looking at much larger carryouts for corn and soybeans next year. And that's going to, you know, that's a little bit of an overhang on the market too. So if I'm a hedger, if I'm a farmer, I said last week we were kind of hoping for a little bit of a rally here, you know, to sell into for 2020. Yeah, any kind. We may have to get even more aggressive than I wanted to. I wanted to sell July at, you know, July corn for new crop probably around 4, and then 2020 for 405 or 410, if we could. We may have to reset those goals. I'm glad we did price as much as we did during the rally, but it's never enough. And now trying to get sold on the way down is always a pain. You know, never a good time, because everyone always looks back at the prices from the summer and thinks, well, maybe we can get those again. And a good majority of them are probably long gone. Now, I do think we could get to there is a gap on the chart, and if we do get freeze concerns and this crop is smaller, there's no reason why I don't think we can go into the 380s and maybe fill that gap in that 390 area again. It's a possibility, but every day we're lower, and every day that we don't have a frost risk, the harder it is to get there. So we're half sold on new crop at 425, and if we can get 380, I think 375, 380, I think we'll get a little bit more aggressive, and we may even just sell against July. I mean, July's at 390. If you got your own storage, and you know, maybe that's the play, and collect the carry yourself, and then with the new crop, do them on 4. In terms of the and that's what we'll do with that. So for the spec guys that listen to this, we still like our hog spreads. We're still into the October versus Dees hog spread. I still like being long cattle. We're doing that with December call spreads, and we're still bear spread the crude oil market. So, and that hasn't changed at all, and we still like those positions. So for the farmer and the hedger, probably looking at leaking lower in corn here. We'll see what the WASDE says, and we're going to have to get aggressive with pricing and hedging when any of these rallies we get in the fall here. On the spec side, I still prefer to be long the hog market. It sounds like to me, I was writing about this earlier, that China is going to have to come in and buy some pork. I mean, if you're a nation that, you know, that has very tight controls over your citizens, you know, one of the trade-offs is stability for that. You know, kind of, you're giving up personal liberty for, and economic liberty for stability. And, you know, I think the price of pork is up 25% this month. That is a big part of the diet and the culture there. China is going to probably have to come in and really is going to have to probably buy pork from the United States. So I still like that. Especially how much it's come down. And then on the beef side, you know, I'm hearing more and more that while the Tyson factory does have a lot of issues, and it is hard to replace that capacity fast, like that it is getting done. So that's why I preferred the call spreads in the cattle, because you can sit in those. Like, it's a lot easier, I think, to sit in a call spread for a point or two while you wait for the market to figure it out. So that's where we are on the spec side. I'll look at some other things, but, you know, I still, you know, the stock market I don't like as much as I did. I can see getting out and waiting to see where these most recent developments take us, and maybe buying something on the dip. So we'll also take a look at that. So that's where we are. One last thing. I did post last week some supply and demand tables. Got some questions on those. I am standing by them. Like, if we, you know, if we're at somewhere between like 1.7 or 1.8 carryout this year, and the USDA has a 2 billion. I mean, some people think we'd be at 2.1 or 2.2 billion. If that happens, if we're really at a 2.2 billion carryout this year, for the new crop, and we plant 90 plus acres next year and have a trend line yield, we could have a projected carryout next May in the May WASDE, which is a ways off, at 3 billion, which is why I was saying $3 is possible. So, I don't know. I hope I'm wrong on that. I would really like to see maybe the crop is a little bit smaller, and we do, what's more important is we get more demand. And at some point, low corn prices does bring in demand. But unfortunately, right now, we're still too high to bring in some any real significant export demand. So that's kind of a bummer. But that's where we are. One other thing I'll say, just on the spec side, gold. If this negative interest rate thing really happens in the United States, gold's going to go higher. It is a hard asset that will get a lot of play in the investment community, in the financial press. Who knows? Maybe even from the Fed. So that is, if you don't own gold or you're looking to trade it, I would, you know, and you're concerned about the negative interest rate possibility, I say it's time to take a look at some gold too. I know it's had a big run up, but if we actually really do go negative interest rate here at some point, most likely gold will be a lot higher from where it is now. So we'll leave it at that. And if you have any questions about what we're doing with marketing over the next couple weeks, let me know. We're going to send the spec trades. Again, you can check me out at turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. Wish I had some better news, especially for the grain guys right now, but this is just the situation we're in. I think we got to start thinking about 2020 and really start thinking about where we can price some things, especially if corn's at $4. Soybeans are at 9:30. If we can get a rally to 9:40 or 9:50, that may be the for November 2020. That may be the time where guys need to start pricing things in and really just being concerned about making it through another year. It's just an early look at the supply and demand tables and the forecast for the next, let's say, 18 months. A lot can happen, but you know, if we have relatively expected acres and yield. Conservative estimates, you know, it could be a rough go of it. So I'll leave it at that. Everyone have a great rest of your week. If you need anything, let me know. Give me a call. I will be sending out the updates through the email, and I'll be talking to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors, such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.